here, some of the things that they're doing, some of the ways that they are able to build relationships and share the gospel with some people that we probably would not be able to get connected with. And so, Darren and Joy, would you guys come at this time? The remainder of the time is yours. Thank you. Absolutely.
Yes, good evening. We are excited to be here. It's really, really good to just be able to look everybody in the eyes and say, first of all, thank you. You guys have been supporting us for 13 years now to be in England, and we could not be there without you. So we love it when we can come back and look you in the eyes and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for continuing to support us. Let me just introduce the family quickly. So my wife, Joy, and then our eldest, Ella, and Kira's over here with Grandma and Grandpa. Can you stand up, Ella? Kira? Thanks. Good. I grew up in Hudsonville, so we get to be with Grandma and Grandpa this week when we're back as well. So that's also fun. But we hope just in the next half hour here, our two aims, I guess, would be just to help you know what's going on in England if you've never seen us before and don't know anything about the ministry you support. And hopefully the second aim we accomplish is just that you'd be excited, that you'd be excited to see what you've been investing into, the lives that you've been impacting. So we're going to mix in some photos and some videos, and hopefully by the end, if you're new and you've never heard about this, at least you'll know, why do we send missionaries to England? Does England need missionaries? You'll be able to answer that question. And if you already know why we're there, you'll be excited about what you've been investing into. So we moved to England 13 years ago to specifically work with young people. And I don't know if you know this, but less than 1% of teenagers in England attend church. Less than 1%. So I don't know how many we have here tonight, maybe 150. So it'd be kind of like 1.5 of us would be churchgoers. And the other statistic is that there was a recent survey, a recent census, and 70% of the British population said they have no intention of ever attending church at any point in the future for any reason. So 70% of people have already decided, I'm not interested in church and I'm probably not gonna go there. We have stories from when we first moved there of being at dinner with some couples that were just normal British couples in their 30s, professional people, and halfway through the meal they stopped us and said, this is really intriguing because there's a practicing Hindu man at work, and I know practicing Muslims, but I've never met a practicing Christian before. And this is just normal British people. So yes, the needs and the opportunities are great. And we really are there to help change that trend, to change the trend of the 1%, less than 1% of teenagers who attend church. We, 13 years ago, we ended up in a little town called Bicester that was 30,000 people then. It's set to grow to 100,000 people in the next 10 to 15 years, so it's really growing. And we've been working in a local youth ministry. And some of you know this story, but some of it will be new. We kind of started out with a handful of teenagers. So we had about a half a dozen teenagers who were Christians that we had been working with for a few years after we arrived. And what we're doing locally now is we sent those teenagers out to interview the police, to interview teachers in the school, and to interview other young people, and to ask, what do you think the biggest need of young people in Bicester is, in our town of Bicester? And without fail, they all came back and everybody said, what young people in Bicester need is a warm, dry, safe place to hang out. And so we equipped those young people to approach the manager of Costa Coffee. So Costa Coffee is kind of the local coffee chain. It's kind of like Starbucks, our version of Starbucks. So they approached the manager to see if he would let us open up Costa one night a week just to meet with teenagers specifically. Coffee shops aren't open in the evenings in England. Everyone goes to the pub. They wouldn't go to drink coffee and get caffeine. We had this whole list of things that we would commit to doing if he would help us meet with teenagers in his coffee shop. And he kind of said, yeah, you don't need to supply people to run the coffee machines. You don't need to pay me. You don't need to agree you'll sell a certain number of drinks. I've been working in this town for a number of years, and I want to give back to the community. So he just has allowed us to meet in that coffee shop, and we have continued to meet with teenagers in that place, and then to call teenagers out of that to explore faith. So we'll meet on different times during the week with kids that come to that coffee shop and share faith, and we love it. We love being with those kids early on in their faith journey. And yeah, we could tell you lots of stories about these baby steps of faith that these teenagers take, and we get to be there for it. Like, a few weeks ago, we were looking at Psalms, I think, and we were talking about forgiveness. And Joy kind of took us to Psalm 51. It's a repentance psalm, and it talks about I'm looking towards Zion, and cleanse me with hyssop, and I'll be whiter than snow. And I was sitting with a group of teenagers, and this girl was like, well, what the heck is Zion? And why do I need to be cleansed with his soap? That's what she thought hyssop was. Why do I need to be cleansed with his soap? This is just really weird, and I don't understand it. So we get to kind of be there in those initial steps. And towards the end, we'll share a video of a 18-year-old guy named John that we've been working with locally. So we'll kind of come back to the local ministry. In a minute, Joy is going to give us some updates on what's happening outside of Bicester, because we still do spend probably 25% of our time working locally in our town with teenagers, but there's a lot more going on that's really exciting that God's letting us do. So Joy is going to update us on that in a minute. But first, we're not going to make the girls come up here and talk this morning, tonight. They're going to get the chance tomorrow morning in VBS, which is great. We're really appreciative of how much time you're giving us this week to share what's happening. So to have a whole service is a real treat. And then to have every morning in VBS to kind of talk with the children about what's going on, we're excited about that. I'm not sure if I'm excited about what happens Friday, because I think if I remember last time we did this, I got a cream pie in the face or beans down my shirt or something. So not as excited about Friday. But other than that, we're excited for VBS, and the girls will help us do some teaching in there. But they wanted to kind of at the beginning of this evening show you a little video of what life in England is like for them. So if we can play that "What is England Like" video.
Hi, my name is Ella.
And my name's Kira.
We would like to take a few minutes to show you what our life is like in England. In some ways it's the same as yours in the US, but in some ways it's a lot different. For instance, this is our house. We share a wall with our neighbours. This is called a semi-detached house.
We have a wee little garden.
Which brings us to the next thing that's different.
English!
You may have noticed that we talk a little different.
Mother, turn on the subtitles so that they can understand us.
For example, this is what we would call a garden. And what you would call a backyard.
This is the bin. It has a lot of rubbish in it.
When we get dressed in the morning,
we wear
trousers, not pants.
These are what you call pants. And this is the hob, not the stove.
These are my trainers.
This is taking too long.
We need to speed it up a little.
Yeah.
This is our school, King's Meadow Primary.
One, two, three.
And these are our school uniforms.
Let's go to town.
This is our mailbox where we put our post.
This is Sheep Street in the center of town.
Garth Park, where we meet with teenagers.
Here are some of them now.
made me thirsty.
Yeah, me too. How about a cuppa?
AKA tea. Kira, Pinky! Jolly good.
All right, so that's a little slice of Ella and Kira's life. Ella goes to secondary school next year. You can pray for her. She's going to be in a new school building, and Kira will be in that same building again. We really, really believe that the best thing missionaries can do is to work themselves out of a job. And so we are constantly trying to work ourselves out of a job by raising up young leaders, equipping them fully, and then turning over our ministries to them. And we're at that point in our ministry now after 13 years where we've raised up a fair number of young leaders who are able to take a discipleship model of ministry. They're able to make disciples who can make disciples, and they're starting to take not only RAIN ministry programs forward, but other things, visions and things that God's given them of how to expand discipleship around the UK and around Europe. So I just want to highlight just for a few minutes a few of the ways that we do this. So we have three different programs. I'm going to talk about two. One is our gap year program. A gap year is usually the year after you graduate from secondary school and you're not exactly sure what you want to do, if you want to go into a trade or to university. And so we have a program right there in Bicester with us where they come and for 10 months they explore, is youth ministry what God's calling me to do? We help them grow in their relationship with God through they're mentored in discipleship and discipled, and then they're out learning how to do evangelism and how to disciple teenagers themselves. And then we do a lot of work on what is God calling you to do. And I would tell you, probably out of that program, we have 4, 6, up to 8 every year that come and live with us in Bicester and do that. Probably about a third of them say, yes, God's calling me into youth ministry. But all of them say, God's called me to be a discipler who can make disciples in the trade that God is calling me to do. And so many of them go back to Germany, Austria, other parts of the UK, and we feel like they're going to be the best volunteers their church has ever seen because they've been trained how to make disciples. So that's the gap year program. And then the other program is a degree program, and we talk about this a lot in our newsletters that we send home. So our degree program, we are doing the theological and youth work training for young people who want to pursue a life of mission to young people, to teenagers, okay? And so it takes up a lot of our time to run this program. So the degree is really unique. They get credit for working in their churches as the youth minister in their church, okay? Or the project manager, if they work with a group of churches. Sometimes groups of little churches have to come together to sponsor someone to work with their young people. But they do that, and then every 6 weeks they come to us near Bicester, and they sit their lectures, is what they would say. They get their training. Darren instructs them. I instruct them. Our teammates instruct them. They get all their theological training and so forth. And then we send them back out for another 6 weeks to do youth work in their context. And so this is the really exciting part of how the ministry has grown, because we actually have we actually have about 30 young people coming that will be in our program this year to train for youth ministry. And it's God's done some things we never foresaw. So we don't just train in England. I know we're your missionaries to England, but we're training youth workers from Northern Ireland, from Glasgow and Edinburgh, Scotland. We're training youth workers in Hamburg, Germany, some from different parts of Austria, Vienna, and then up in the mountains a bit. We're having a girl from Portugal this year. So God's just really opened the doors for us to train youth workers for lots of churches and release these young men and women fully confident that they can make disciples in the places that God's calling them. So when Darren says we do about 25% with our own youth group, and then we probably spend about 75% of our time in these other programs. And we have a video that we put together quite a few years ago, actually. This one's a little bit older, but it shows, it's a really good video that shows our students and the things that they're learning and applying in their own context.
We have about 3 minutes today, and we want to introduce you to some of our friends. Now, we believe with all of our hearts that the church in England and across Europe can be transformed by movements of young people who are equipped to reach and disciple their friends. So that's why we spent the best of our time and energy identifying young leaders, raising them up, and equipping them to go back to their own communities to serve and love young people. From Germany, Austria, the Netherlands, Spain, the United States, and right here in the UK, God is raising up leaders who are passionate about personal disciple making. Just listen to what they're learning.
As a result from my time doing Greenhouse, I'm really passionate about doing youth work a bit differently now.
A skill that I've learned this year has been discipleship. So evaluating where a young person's at and then looking at what you want to help them achieve, and then from that setting short-term goals to help them move forward and grow spiritually.
The biggest thing that Rain Ministries has taught me is discipleship.
Discipleship involves doing the everyday things with them, whether that be cooking a meal or going to watch their football games. Really just trying to show God's love with them through the day to day and see them raised up.
Through that year, I learned a love for my leaders, and I kind of looked at what they did, and then I tried to do that my own.
Teenagers need hope, and we can offer it.
Oh, it's just so exciting that she comes up to me and tells me, hey, I gave my life to God.
What I'm learning about what successful ministry is how many people are you taking along on the journey, and how well are you equipping them so that they can live it, so that they can live Christ and pass on Christ to others.
What I've seen over the past 5 years of being with Rain is that discipleship works. Discipleship passes on and actually creates movement rather than maintaining a ministry.
What I really learned in that whole year is that when young leaders model life in front of others, it's going to help the youth quite a bit to see how we do faith, how we live faith. The motor shop is just perfect because they can pop by, they can play games with us, they can stay for dinner, and so they will have all those different situations of life of us where they just see how we deal with each other, how we try to love each other, how we try to care for each other.
Whatever we're doing, teenagers are joining us and having the feeling that the motor shop is a home for them as well.
Successful ministry to me is seeing youth come to a place where they're disciples who can make disciples, that they can walk with their peers and take their friends through a journey with Jesus.
Isn't that cool? I mean, I know you guys kind of know that we've been in this little town of Bicester doing youth ministry, but to think that you've helped make an impact, so there's going to be up to 30 students this year in 30 different churches around the UK, and you can see them there with their own youth groups and their own teenagers they're discipling. So to us, that's just super, super exciting that it's not just us in one town. If we want to change this trend of less than 1%, God's going to have to raise up an army of youth ministers, and British ones and European youth ministers are going to be a lot more effective than we are at reaching their own peers. So I hope that's exciting for you to see. The impact is much more than just the one town that we're in. Another new thing that we've started is we call it learning community. But basically, you've heard we do quite a bit of work with kind of 20 to 25-year-olds who are training for youth ministry, but we've also been able to start training whole church volunteer teams to do disciple-making youth ministry. So many of our alumni now are out in churches as the lead youth minister, and they'll bring their youth ministry teams back into us. We meet every 6 months. We'll bring their team in, do some more training about youth work and discipleship, and they'll sit down with their team, and it's over a weekend, and they'll set six-month goals. What do we want to see God do in our local ministry over the next 6 months? And they're pretty hard on each other. They ask some pretty tough questions. And then we meet up with them monthly to kind of coach them. And then 6 months later, they'll bring their team back, and we'll share the six-month goals. What did God do? What did we not accomplish? What do we need to change? And that's been really exciting. You can kind of see a whole room full of people here. These are different volunteers from about seven different churches. And to me, the super exciting thing with this photo is the person doing the training is Matt. So the guy at the front is Matt. Well, he came in our youth group and did the gap year and did the degree. And he's about 24 now. And now he's training. So he's up there and he's the one that's training some of these other church volunteers. And we're in the background. So we're kind of prepping them to teach. And I give him feedback. Here's what made sense. Here's what I think you need to work on for next time. And Shannon as well. Shannon was in the video that we showed, but she's helping to train in that learning community. So again, we feel like one of the best things we can do as missionaries is pass off as many key parts of the ministry as we can to young British leaders. And that's starting to happen, and it's fun. But it still has to come back to individual stories, right? It still has to come back to individual young people. So I know how it is when I listen to missionary presentations. It's cool and all these big plans and these growing things. And sometimes I get it and sometimes I get a bit lost. But when I hear stories of individual people who God has worked in their life, that's super exciting to me as well. So we just wanted to show you one particular young person named John. And he's been part of our youth ministry. We got to share with the missions team earlier today about John for a few minutes. But we first met John at our Costa Coffee outreach. And he was invited by a friend. His friend knew he was kind of having a difficult time in life. So she thought, well, these Christians might be able to help him. So he came, and John was a very confused young man. He was about 15. When he came to us, he wasn't sure what he was supposed to be doing in life. He wasn't sure if he should be with boys or be with girls. And he was very outspokenly an atheist. So, you guys are nice. I'm not interested in God. I'll debate it with you, but I'm not interested, is where John started. And we showed John that we cared about him and that we loved him. And there was a God who's real and loves him. And he started coming to our Thursday night group where we have a meal and talk about God. And about 2 years ago, John came to faith. And I've been discipling him over the last year. And we're just going to show a quick film of in John's. You get to hear John speak for himself about his story. So we'll play that one.
So, by the time I was 15, I think I just really just hated God. I think. So when I was 7, my dad passed away, so he had a heart attack. And kind of as a family, it was just me, my mum, and my sister, and my brother. We kind of just left in the lurch. Our dad was the one who worked, so we didn't have any money, and life just became really hard really fast. And I went to every, well, like, minister I knew. I went to my grandma, who was one of them, who's like the devout Christian in my family, and I asked them, why would God do this? And the only answer I ever got was, God works in mysterious ways. And as a 6.5, 7-year-old, that's not really a very good answer to receive. You can't really understand it that well. It's not something you have any knowledge of. And yeah, from that point onwards, I just decided that I didn't want to follow a God who would take someone's family away. I was very vocal in my beliefs that God wasn't real, and or if he was, he was an evil God. So by this point, I'd got a relatively good group of friends at school, and they invited me along to this group that was every Tuesday. So I decided to go along, and they told me at the beginning this group was run by Christians, but was kind of designed to be a social group.
So John, how long have you been coming to Costa?
Since September, so about 5-6 months now.
And what keeps you coming back?
All my friends come here, and I like the environment, and most of the adults are actually really cool. So
I made a fair few friends pretty quickly there, and with some of them, so some like the young leaders, I decided to kind of debate faith. And it was done in a relatively non-aggressive sense. Like, we would just kind of just talk about it, and obviously they would have their opinion and I'd have mine.
So, how is this club to help you think differently about God, if so?
Well, it's shown me that just because you believe in God doesn't mean you can use it like as an excuse. I mean, everyone here actually does thoroughly believe in God, and they act like they do, which, according to some Christians I've met, they don't. And that really kind of put me off the faith. I mean, I lost it when I was younger and my dad passed away, and I've had bad things happen, so that's why I don't believe. But I can see why people do. So that kind of, it shows that, to me, there are actually people who actually do believe in their faith.
And obviously, they would have their opinion and I'd have mine. And kind of, we'd both, I think at the end of the night, we'd both leave feeling relatively, like, content about the way that we'd spoken about God. As I continued to go to this Tuesday group, internally at least, I started to realize that they had answers to questions I didn't have answers to, and that intrigued me, and so they invited me to their Thursday group, which was definitely about God.
So John, you've actually started coming to something else the last couple of weeks, would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I've been going to the Thursday Moto sessions.
Yeah, I want
to
go.
The gospel community.
Yeah, they're quite interesting, especially as I'm a self-professed atheist. I find it interesting to try and hear others' opinions as to why they believe what they do.
So can you tell us a bit about what you've learned in the last couple of weeks?
But I think in reality, I was trying to kind of scope out what God was like to these people, because if they had a better idea as to what God was about than the people who I knew when I was younger, or had a better explanation than from when I was younger, maybe God wasn't so bad after all. So after a long time of building a wall between me and God, so I didn't want to see him, I didn't want to know him, kind of as I started to discuss him again as a pretty painful topic with these mature adult Christians in my life, God started to brick by brick break down that wall. And when I actually finally caught a good glimpse of him, I saw that he was a lot better than I had ever imagined. He was good, he was kind, he was loving. He wasn't at all this cruel, vindictive being I made him out to be in my head. And at that moment was when I started to help pull down the wall myself. So I started to actually make little steps out in faith. Yeah, I was trying to actually get to know him more as well. And I think at this point, that would probably be the moment when I would say I became a Christian.
I don't know.
So at this point, I kind of finally began to surrender to God. And it definitely had its challenges, as one of the things I had to surrender was my first major relationship. So it was pretty toxic for a multitude of reasons, and it didn't end well. In fact, it made me have to reset the year at school. That's a different story.
Yeah,
it was really hard, and I think since then I've definitely had to grow a lot in this my self-confidence and in my ability to live a life without having to have a relationship and without having to have other people's respect, because I have his, and his means a lot more to me than other people's. Since coming to know Christ, I think that God's definitely kind of built upon some giftings in me.
I think that, yeah,
God's definitely given me some very solid pastoral gifts, and I'm very excited to get to continue to use those to build his kingdom, because I think that, yeah, I think within the roles that I would like to fill within a church or within a community, they're the gifts I need to be able to do that. So I'm just very thankful for those.
So that's John. So John is going to start studying in the degree program in September with us. He's finished secondary school now, and he's a big part of our family. So you can pray for John as you go forward throughout the year. We're winding down here, and then we'll take a couple questions. So three things to finish up with. Our staff team is growing. So this is our team now in the UK, it's just a really exciting time for us because I know those people just look like people to you. But more and more, we're filling this team up with young British leaders. So I want to talk about one in particular, Claire. So Claire started coming to Costa Coffee when she was 15. And I think she's 22 now. That means I'm aging myself. Yeah, when she was 15, she was in a hard, dark time. She was school refusing at the time. Her mom would put her on the bus to send her to a school, which is about a half hour away, and she'd walk her to the bus stop. She was old enough to know better, and she'd get on the bus and then get there and get on the next bus that was coming back the other way and come back and go home while her mom was at work. She was just really having a hard time. And she started coming to Costa, and I said, come over, and we'll chat each week. And I started to disciple her. At 17, she came to Saving Faith, and then she started in our Greenhouse Gap Year program, and then she started the degree the year after that. She just finished her degree. And in September, Darren is going to turn over the leadership of that whole gap year program to Claire. He's been training her for 3 years through her degree time how to run this gap year program, and she's going to run and expand it. And we're hoping maybe in a couple years she'll be able to go to the city where she was going to school, because now she has a ministry over back in that school where she was refusing to go to school. It's a little tiny Christian school. She goes there now, and maybe we can start another greenhouse gap year project in that town, and she would be the one to go. So she's they don't all turn out that great, but Claire is a great testimony to how God works and changes lives. The last slide I have up here is another way Darren and I are handing things over. So this Costa Coffee ministry has been the kind of the thing we write home about a lot over the last 7 or 8 years that we've run that. And we're actually turning that over now to our new American teammates, Megan and Ryan, that are joining us this month. And they are going to take that older age group. And we have a whole bunch of relationships with Ella's friends. They're all 11 now. And the families from our local primary school. And so we're starting a new youth outreach for basically for junior highers. We don't have junior highs in England, but that's what you guys would know it as. And so the penny drive this week for VBS, we're raising money for that new youth outreach. We're going to do a lot of games and things in our local park with that age group. We've already started to test it a little bit, had some trial runs with these games nights, which is, that's where this picture is. So we need equipment. We need a warm, safe place to meet in the winter, because we won't be able to meet in this park all winter long. So that's what some of the penny drive money is going to go towards from VBS. So yes, I think that's the end of my list.
So yes, hopefully that gives you a bit of a picture of why England, if you never heard that before. If you've heard a lot of this, hopefully it reminds you what we're doing there. And most of all, hopefully it just excites you to see what God's doing and to see things expand. And again, thank you so much, so much. We know there's so many good ministries around the globe that you could send your money to, but we have a huge heart for these British young people, and we're glad that you do as well. So thank you for your faithful commitment. I think we might have 5 minutes or so for a few questions. Do we have 5 minutes? Yeah? Okay. Yes. Yes, and that's a question we get. Are the Muslims active in our town? Is a question we get quite a bit. Bicester is kind of interesting in that it's still quite monocultural. So most of the UK is multicultural, but our town is still very white British. The nearest mosque is in Oxford, which is 15 minutes away. So we haven't seen that in our town personally, but some of our students in their towns and cities, will have young people from that background in their communities. Yep. And I think it's similar. I mean, people ask about our safety, and we feel safe. I think a lot of the Muslim families that are in the UK are also just kind of culturally Muslim. So it's not something that's a heartfelt faith. It's more of a cultural, kind of like here in the States, there's a lot of Christians. So it's a big mission field, actually, as well, and a big opportunity to share life with them and to tell them about Jesus. They value Jesus as a prophet. So it's starting from that and saying, well, actually, he is the prophet. He's like the way to God. So yeah, it is kind of like here. It's a mission field. The Middle East is coming to the West. So it's a good question. Yes. Yeah. 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 So what's the degree? A little more information about that. So it's a 3-year degree in theology and mission. And it's accredited through York St. John University. So we work with a Christian college, but any Christian program over there, any Christian qualification has to be validated by a university. So we fall under the theology department of a university. And we're explicitly evangelical Christian. And they have people that come in and check up on if we're meeting all the quotas. But it's a 3-year degree, which is normal in the UK. If you were going to study to be a engineer or a scientist or a teacher, you'd go for 3 years. Because about the time young people are 16, they have to start focusing in on they wouldn't take general ed after they're 16. They wouldn't take English and math and science. They'd start to focus in. So university is focused on just your major. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, kind of how do the young people respond to being taught religion and Christianity because it's part of their history? Yeah. Yeah, well, and in some ways, this came up with the missions committee today as well. So the question is, yeah, with young people getting religious education in the school, and with England having quite a Christian history, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? And I think it's not necessarily a good thing. So they hear the Christian faith taught in school all throughout their schooling by teachers who don't believe anything. So it kind of comes across as a dry history lesson. And the best way I found to try to explain it is, and I was sharing, sorry if you heard this earlier today, but the best way I can explain it is, I feel like Christianity is kind of a museum display. And we go look at it because it helps us make sense out of who we are. But I don't know, when you were a kid and you went to museums for field trips in school, I don't know if you ever left the museum feeling like, wow, that changed my life. You know, you feel like, well, that was good. That was good to learn our history. But it's not anything you would use in your everyday life. So I think that's a big part of our job as youth ministers is helping teenagers see, well, why should I even think about faith in the first place? Yeah, I would say when we first arrived, I definitely felt like when we would say we're Christians, it was more of a positive response than a negative. It was more of a curiosity of, oh, wow, there still are those things called Christians. And mostly people would say, well, Christians are nice people. I don't know. I feel like in the last few years, there's been a bit more just politically and some of the laws that are coming out, I think Christians are a bit more marginalized and maybe not as positive of a view because of some of the stuff in the media. But yeah. Yep. So yeah, a lot the two questions that postmodern people, and we work in a postmodern, post-Christian country, so the two biggest apologetic questions that young people have in the postmodern world, which is England, Australia, I think probably we're postmodern here now, is when they look at our faith, does it work So does it make my life better? And does it lead to relational harmony? Those are the first two questions I have. Not, is the Bible real, or did Jesus really live and raise from the dead? Does it work? So does your faith make your life better? And does it make your relationships better? So yeah, just interesting starting point. Yep. One or two more, yeah? Ever have bad responses from the parents when the young people come to our Christian groups? I've been talking a lot, so I'll let Joy.
We work with the older group that we work with, all those Costa Coffee kids. Those are under-parented kids, so they don't want us to meet their parents, and their parents don't want to meet us. So we don't get a lot of interaction with those parents, but now that we're working with Ella's friends and ladies that I pass every day on the school run and things, I know which ladies in the school don't want their kids to have anything to do with anything Christian. They've either let me know that, or I've sensed that. So I do see that. I don't want to overplay it. There is a small little stream I'm seeing of all religions are dangerous, and so we need to keep our kids away from religious things. I do see that a little bit, but for the most part, it's totally irrelevant to people. It's not that they're hostile. For the most part, it's just they need to be shown, does it work, like Darren said.
Yeah, I think most parents are happy to have their teenagers come to our outreach groups, but when their teenagers start to show signs that they're taking this faith seriously, then the parents start to get antsy. And the words they use is, whoa, we're fine with them coming to your after-school group, but we don't want them to be too full-on, is what they would say. So to dabble in it is fine, but they don't want them to be full-on. I don't want my kid telling other people what they should believe, is what one dad said to me. So, have we ever seen a parent say because of a child? Not yet. So most of the young people we work with, it's really hard to meet their parents. Most don't live with both parents. So similar to what was shared this morning. And that's what we're hoping to change a bit with this new outreach. We're hoping to link in with the families at the same time as the teenagers. And it's probably a bit more of a normal cross-section of young people from different backgrounds, where this Costa Coffee has been teenagers, probably the most vulnerable, at-risk young people that you could find. So home isn't a good place for those. Yeah. One more maybe, and then, we'll be at the back. And we have a little sign-up sheet. If you don't get our emails, I'd love for you to sign up to our emails, because Joy does a great job once a month, sending out. We don't ask for money in the emails, and I don't write a devotional. I figure if you want a devotional, you're not waiting for your missionary to write you one. You probably have your own places. So it's just news. So we'd love to share. Sometimes it's a video. Sometimes it's a short little blog of here's an update from a student. Our personal support is going really, really well. We're doing great, thanks to you guys and your faithfulness. So it's just updates. So we'd love for you guys to get updates of how God's using your investment. So make sure you sign up at the back table. If you don't have one of our prayer magnets and you relish the thought of us staring at you from your refrigerator, grab one of those. But maybe one more question, and then I think it's about time to wrap things up. Cool. We'll be at the back. If you have more, we can answer your questions at the back. So thank you so much. Thanks for coming out tonight. I know coming out on a summer nearly August night to listen to missionaries might not be on the top of your list, but thanks for letting us cast the vision again and tell you thank you and give you some updates.
All right. Thank you, Darren and Joy. And listen, tomorrow, VBS, come out and hear some more of what they're doing about that, to have them with us. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss. Father, thank you so much for giving us the ability to support Darren and Joy and Ella and for Kira, Father. I just pray that you would guide them and direct them, provide for their every need, Lord. I do pray that you would help them to be able to hand over these areas, these critical areas that are able to be handed off. I pray that you would grant them just people who are willing, able, capable, and trained. And Father, we pray that many young people would come to know Christ and as well their parents. Lord, we know that there are many walls being broken down, and so we pray that you would guide them and direct them really to work in the hearts of these young people, to show them who God is, to show them how much they need God, to show them genuinely the lies that they've been believing. And I just pray that you would guide and direct the Stevens, Father. We pray for VBS. We pray for the Stevens as they minister to us. I pray that your name would be lifted up and many would come to know Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.